Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 151 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We have made it through 150 episodes, you guys.
Woo.
A little more excitement than that. Come on.
Woo!
There we go. We need like a little cake to celebrate or something.
As long as it's dairy-free.
We can do that. Yes, I am coming to you from the tinny sounds of my apartment because... Yeah, I missed you guys last episode and partially the episode before that because my life has been a nightmare. My desktop went kaput, which is why a lot of the stuff that you guys have been waiting on is late. So I built my first PC and it was an absolute nightmare and I will never do it again. I will always buy pre-bought in the future, which is why you'll notice I'm not using my mic because my mic is not currently working. The driver is gone on the fritz on this desktop. So yeah, good times all around. Technology has always been the bane of our existence. And then I got diagnosed with viral meningitis somehow. So it's been a month.
And it's almost over. It's almost October, which means it's almost Halloween, which is the best time of year.
I just want to feel normal again. I really do.
You're over the age of 30. You will never feel normal.
As normal as normal can be for somebody over the age of 30. For a cosplay elder.
There we go. I think that's a good balance.
At any rate, getting on with the intro here with our cosplay updates. I don't see anything in the background for once for you.
I know. I don't have anything in the background unless you count the thing a warbler. Does the dress form where I'm currently working on a pattern count?
That counts. It just wasn't in frame.
Yeah. And I mean, I literally just threw this on the dress form about 10 minutes ago and did the basic pinning because I'm making a lot of patterns for some reason. Really, I don't have a whole lot to show off because I've decided three different costumes that I may potentially make for BlizzCon, which is a month away, you know, because reasons, stuff, things. And I even like went through the process of making all this bias tape that I will now no longer be using. Like, that's how indecisive I've been. So, yeah, that's basically my life, is just me making no decisions for the past week and a half. Mostly, I've just been patterning and working on some stuff. Some of it's already up on my Instagram page. And really, it's just my dress form and how crappily I cut on my patterns. There's my update. I've got nothing to showcase. Other than tomorrow, I will be streaming on Twitch the prop that I'll be making for BlizzCon. That's something that is actually solidified. And I'm really excited and slightly worried about my prop because it's the Book of Cain from Diablo 3. And it's actually going to be a book that I can open up and use it for storage and carry around with me. But it's got this really cool 3D head of Diablo on the front of it. I'm still trying to work out how I'm going to make this thing. It'll be an experiment on the stream tomorrow. But really, that's about all that I got for cosplay stuff. I'm sure we'll probably end up talking about some of the new patterns that have been released, though.
Very likely, yes. Because there are lots of those.
One of them's by Jay Hart. Ah! Okay.
My cosplay updates are not on camera because they are drying in my living room. So they're about 15 feet that way. And they smell like spray paint. And so I'm not going to bring them near me where the fan will blow the fumes into my face because they need to be drying and not acquiring my fingerprints all over them. But I did go ahead and complete cutting out and assembling the armor for my Sky Paladin. And so I went outside to spray paint it because I've got silver spray paint, of course, that I really enjoy, only to find that spray paint in a rattle can has a shelf life. And after a while, it does not come out of the can. And then you cannot use it if it is still in the can.
Right.
And I ran out of the other can. I only had two cans. One didn't work at all, and I ran out of the other one. So I at least got one layer down.
Yay.
So I'm going to have to acquire more spray paint at the store tomorrow so that I can hopefully finish it. And, of course, it unexpectedly rained today, which I'm sure did not help matters very much. It does have a little bit of a mottled appearance because of the way the spray paint came out of the rattle can. But it can be fixed. And then I'm going to hopefully experiment a little bit with weathering. And we will see how that goes. Then I can just assemble it. Always paint first, kids, then assemble. Don't assemble and then paint. That way you don't miss spots.
Mm-hmm.
And have to go back and do it again.
Right.
But unfortunately, that has been all I've been able to do since all the healthcare bills from my lovely diagnosis are taking away my ability to buy cosplay supplies. I have to wait another probably at least month, guys. I'm really sorry you guys don't get to see much from me. I really am sorry. But yeah, the CT scans and MRIs and such cost a lot of money.
Too much money. That's part of the problem. It costs too much money.
It does. Even with insurance, it's probably going to run me almost $2,000.
It's so ridiculous how much
it's a lot of money. And I'm still not even 100% yet. So there may still be more tests and meds in my future, unfortunately. I'm trying to get well as best as I can. I'm trying really hard. This was not what I wanted to be doing right now.
You'll get there. Not to worry.
Well, I've definitely been trying to take it easy. So at least the cosplay, you know, I've been sitting here with my buddy Mod Podge for a good portion of the last 2 days, coating craft foam. Because of course, Mod Podge is your friend when it comes to priming craft foam before you paint it.
Heck yeah. I'll be doing a lot of that tomorrow.
Yep. And then I still have to seal it afterward too. But that's all I got for cosplay updates this time around.
Cool. We got to show off the patterns they have for cosplay on the calls. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, and you guys know me, I am not a pattern person, but I'm just like drooling over these things. I kind of want them, not even just to use them, like maybe to put them in this nice frame of like, here are the cool cosplay patterns that now exist and like mount it on my wall. Oh, goodness. All right. I'm going to go flip over to the correct window if I can get to the right window. Hang on. No, you guys do not want to see my gnarly face. Let's flip to this window. Share. Yay. Okay. Let's start talking about the cool patterns they now have out. Ah.
Oh, you're starting with their cosplay vault.
Yeah.
I wanted to add that on their regular site where they have the, I don't know, I guess you call them budget grade cosplay patterns.
Mm-hmm.
They have Doctor Strange now. They have the full-on pattern, full body, cape, tunic, undershirt, pants, everything.
Nice. Just in time for Halloween.
Exactly. So if you want to make your own, because those things are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
But I noticed that other than that, McCall and Simplicity don't really have any new Halloween patterns out at the moment. Mm-mm. I think they've pretty much already gone through what they're going to have for fall.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know what they came out with this year is so unique and dynamic that it's just like, you know what? This works. I'm okay. This is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I've been now drooling at this one. Yeah, I have been drooling over this one ever since Jay Hart made this post yesterday that this was live. I was like, oh my God, this is gorge.
This is very Lolita.
Oh God, it's so pretty.
For those who do not know who Jay Hart Design is, you should be ashamed of yourself and go
because
look him
up. Because he's
God. I don't know if I'd say that, but he is a designer, as well as I believe he works as an assistant in a couture shop. So he actually does a lot of seamstressing himself. And if you haven't seen pictures of his cosplay, he does both standard male cosplay and crossplay.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks absolutely gorgeous in both. He has extraordinarily clean construction on his costumes. And the pictures are fan-freaking-tastic. You should go look at them, seriously.
Yeah, you guys have to go look at them up.
No judgment.
Disgusting.
Even if you don't like crossplay, that is okay. Go look at the construction of these gorgeous costumes. They're really solid.
It blows my mind every time I see one of his outfits. Like, how do you make that look so nice and pretty? Just how? What magical fairy dust are you using? But it's also kind of cool to see that McCall has been reaching out to other cosplayers to see what we want. what are we going to get the most use out of? And the fact that they're bringing them in to help with making these patterns, that's really cool of them. I know one of them is by Becca Knoll. I don't know how many people know her, but she's pretty well known in the Comic-Con community. But this is her set of patterns. The wings, the stocking, and the hat, which is kind of cool. I'm really just kind of floored by how much they've expanded this line. And I'm guessing it's probably selling really well for them to continue doing this.
Mm-hmm. Or at least certainly well enough.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how accurate this is. Probably not.
No, it's not.
And then for the Game of Thrones fans, this is very much an alternate take, but I could easily see this being incorporated into Skyrim or Game of Thrones cosplays.
It's also very Hobbit-ish for the dwarves.
So it looks like it comes with the tunic, the coat, and then the hood.
And of course, you could make a cape out of an IKEA rug.
And the hood is detachable. Very cool.
Modular is always the way to go if you can help it.
Right? Yeah, this thing just keeps growing by leaps and bounds. I'm constantly amazed by this mofo. It's great. All right, hit the stop button. Woohoo! Back to normal mode.
Yay!
Yay!
I love normal mode.
Normal? What's that? What is this craziness that you speak of?
Heal my stiff neck, please. And my head. Get the virus out of my body.
If it helps any, I've had tooth problems all week, so hey, sympathy pain.
I use a girl's best friend, which is a heating pad that you keep on hand at all times.
At all times.
Women understand.
Yes, we do.
So I just nuke it in the microwave because mine's one of the kind that has beans in it. And I just sit it on the back of my neck and I lay down in bed so that it pushes and it puts a little bit of pressure back there and it holds the heat real nice and close against the skin. You just think, for about a half an hour until the heat runs out. It's also a cosplayer's best friend, guys. I'm not saying this just to be off topic, but if you ever go to a convention, which I was actually just out of town at a convention this past weekend, which is another reason why everything's late, is at the end of the day, you don't realize just how sore you get being at a convention. Even if you don't walk around very much at all, just being in costume, especially if it's got a lot of parts to it or heavy bits to it, just puts stress on your body. And if you don't stand all day at your job, then standing all day at the con puts pressure on your feet in ways that they're not accustomed to. So having a heating pad around at cons can actually be a really blessed comfort at the end of the day. It really can. Just put it on the back of your calves and it will do wonders for you.
I know many cosplayers who like to take baths at conventions for that reason.
I love to soak in a hot shower every single night, like as hot as I can take it, just to relax the muscles that have been all tensed up the entire day. Yeah,
exactly.
It's bizarre, I know, but it happens every convention.
Oh, goodness.
Doubly so at the ones where you have to walk long distances, like Dragon Con or Acon, where it's at multiple hotels.
God, I'm going to have to do so much walking at BlizzCon. Like, I can feel it already, and it's making my back hurt.
Get Salon Paw, man.
Oh, I'm going to have to take so much of that with me.
They're not even, they have a new gel now. They're not paying me. They're not sponsoring the show at all. Just, I happen to have used them, and I find them useful.
And a lot of comfy shoes.
There is really something to be said for insoles, even in cosplay shoes.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, get the kind that you can slip out from your regular shoes and slip them into your cosplay shoes. That way your feet are next to something they're accustomed to already. Break them in, you know, a week before the con. All right, so we have our main topic of the day, which we do this every year, and every year we somehow find some way of being even more astonished at what they do with it, but it's closer to Halloween, folks.
It makes sense.
How sexy cosplay is transforming the community for good and bad.
And the funny thing is that every time that we try to talk about this, it always seems to be like a polarizing issue. Like, you're either on one side or the other, and it's really hard to get both sides to come together and talk about it like mature adults and not turn into a fighting match. And the only reason that I'm bringing this up is because I actually stumbled upon a topic by Maguma Cosplay. And if that name sounds familiar, that's actually somebody from CosCast who we've had on in the past. He actually started this discussion and he was like, listen, I want this to be, you know, 100% adult discussion about this change in the landscape. And it was actually a very well thought out topic. And a lot of people responded, not bashing one another. And it's like, this is totally a thing. We can have these type of moments because I think we need to accept the fact that sexy cosplay is changing the community. Now, where are we going there?
It's going to be a thing whether we like it or not.
Exactly. It's going to always be there because, as we have said multiple times on this show, people want to see nice people in skimpy things. People like other people's bodies aesthetically.
People like to look at other people's naked bodies.
It's just is.
And at this point, we can do the traditional warning to where if you have kids nearby, if you know you're listening to this at work, now might be a good time to put on headphones or, you know, cover the kids' ears and such, because we're about to have a very adult conversation that involves adult themes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this has been your 15 seconds-ish warning to go ahead and take appropriate measures before we talk about this.
And I think we also need to cover our bases and say, you know, we are not bashing people who want to wear sexy costumes or who want to do like the boudoir shoots or the lingerie shoots. That's what you want to do. That's your thing. Fine. So this is in no way meant to be harmful or disrespectful to anybody on any type of the cosplay spectrum. This is just us having an adult discussion.
Like all things we talk about, it's meant to be constructive critique of a topic. It's meant to be open discussion and debate. Mm-hmm. So you guys may not agree with us, and that's cool.
That's fine. You don't have to agree with us. It means you're more likely to comment.
Exactly. We like fan interaction. Even if you disagree with us, just please make it constructive. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
So do you have any examples of what this year's sexy cosplay is, aside from what we showed during the introduction to fall patterns episode?
Do you mean just for Halloween or just in the cosplay community?
Either or. They tend to show themselves a little more around Halloween.
That's true, yes.
Just because of the nature of having a holiday built around costuming.
I think over the course of the year, I know the VKS sweater thing was really big at the beginning of this year, but that's kind of died down. Thank God.
We had an after session about that.
Sorry. Personal opinion, I am so tired of the VKS thing. That thing was just bananas.
If you missed our VKS after session, go Google what it is. You'll understand. Make sure Safe Search is on.
I think from a cosplay perspective, especially the Patreon and how big that's become this year, it's really been a lot about boudoir shoots and lingerie shoots in cosplay, where you wear the character's hair and makeup, but you're wearing next to nothing in the process. As far as Halloween costumes, I'll have to definitely take another look and see, because right now, a lot of the favorites are the movie stuff. So you've got a lot of Wonder Woman, which is awesome. There is Beauty and the Beast. But there's also a lot of old school Belle too, so big thumbs up on that.
There's always going to be Disney sexy versions every year. If you go to Spirit Halloween, if you go to parties, all of them sell it. The only ones that generally don't sell it are retailers like Walmart and Target, and that's because they have kids shop in their stores. They have like young kids with their parents. But otherwise, I think they would totally sell them too. But
hi, doggy.
The reason I ask is because the one issue, okay, I have two issues, but the one major issue that I have with sexy cosplay is that when they take kids type figures like Minions
or SpongeBob
and sexify them, it to me that's giving kids completely the wrong idea, because kids do see them. Yes, I understand, you know, we're adults. Adults like to play in the bedroom. Adults like to fantasize. Adults like to do things in bed to spice things up and make it interesting. Let's get real. kids also see it though, and I don't like them having that mental image in their mind of, you know, things like Minions, things like SpongeBob, things like Dora the Explorer, even to an extent Disney things, because then they think that that's how it should be. It's like, no, that's taking away the kid from it entirely and making it a very adult thing, when those movies were almost entirely meant for kids. Yeah, they put adult jokes in there because they know the adults are in the movie theater, but they're meant for kids. And I would really like it to stay that way. At least as far as, you know, public costumes go. Whatever you do in the bedroom, people have their kinks. I ain't gonna judge. I've seen far worse, and I have friends that do far worse. So if it's in the bedroom, that's cool. Just putting it out there in public in front of the kids is one of my things. It's just like, I'm not a fan.
It's one of those things like, is that really necessary to do? And it always just concerns me, especially seeing costumes that are available out there for young girls as well as teenage girls. Yes, the selections have gotten better, but still so many of them are like sexy Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, you know, sexy nurse, sexy this. And I'm like, an 8-year-old girl does not need to be wearing that. Where are the other options? Why can I not have the nice pretty bell dress, even the fugly one from the recent Beauty and the Beast? That would be a better option than anything else.
And I can understand if you're wearing one of those versions because the ball gown, you're going to a place where the ball gown is too much, where you can't have the train, you can't have all the drapey, totally get it. Especially when we're filming, we like to go, you know, as comfy as possible. And sometimes the shorter skirt, you know, mid thigh is much easier to walk around in. I'm cool with that. Just some of these, they have plunging necklines that don't leave very much to the imagination, and lots of cutouts and places and mesh panels and places. It's like, not my cup of tea. Now, these are always our opinions, of course. You know, we're not bashing. This is just how we feel.
But it really doesn't go too far off from what we're seeing in the cosplay community, kind of tying this all back in. A lot of the things that we see nowadays and really make that quote-unquote headlines are the men and the women who wear next to nothing, who are doing the boudoir and the lingerie shoots, who have the Patreon subscribers to do the semi-nude or almost nude or fully nude shoots. And it's kind of, as somebody who's all about craftsmanship and really trying to get the accuracy of the character and the performance of the character, it definitely irks me. It definitely makes me feel uncomfortable because it feels like we're diverging away from the intent of cosplay, which is all about open acceptance. Everybody can cosplay whatever the heck that they want to. Doesn't matter your skin tone, your size, your religious affiliations, whatever. You like this character, you can be that character. But with the way sexy cosplay has been going, it's not focusing on that anymore. It's all about the image. You know, do you look like XYZ character, and how well do you look with your clothes almost off?
That kind of leads into the second problem I have with it, mm-hmm. which is a little more cosplay centric in general. And that's that it gives people the impression that this is what cosplay is. From the outside, if you're not a cosplayer. Most of us who have cosplayed before, we've seen the sexier versions and we just go, it's an original take. Power to them. Kudos. Great. Everybody from the outside sees it and just kind of goes, she needs to put some clothes on, or he needs to cover up and wear a dance belt. And they get that impression that this is what all cosplayers are like. They're not. It's as much a part of cosplay as a more modest version with a hijab. And I've seen gorgeous, in fact, we featured cosplayers that wear the hijab and incorporate it into their costume beautifully. They're all equally part of cosplay. None of them represent all of what cosplay is by themselves. And I don't like it that people kind of get that impression that it's, you know, even getting the impression that guests are all like that, that you have to wear the sexy cosplay to be a guest. You have to wear the sexy cosplay to get likes. People like looking at other people's naked bodies. We get it, but that's not the reason we all cosplay. Yes, it gets attention. Yes, people cosplay to get attention. It's not the only way of getting attention. I promise you, if you go into a room with a lightsaber, you're getting attention whether you like it or not, because it's a big glowy thing. If you go in with a giant suit that is mecha, you're going to have people stop you for pictures about every 2 feet, because you are a giant mecha. There are other ways of getting attention. And it's all good. It's all cosplay. But that's my long and short of it.
Well, I think along that same train of thought, you know, then you have the other people who are like, oh, so this is what cosplay is all about. Well, why don't more people do this stuff? This is awesome. They're showing boobs or their butts or their junk or whatever. And, you know, and that can be just as equally dangerous to those who are just starting out in the cosplay when they start thinking, this is the only way I can cosplay is by having to do sexy stuff. And it's like, no, no, there's plenty of other routes that you can take. There are tons of people who actually don't cosplay, but they make cosplay for other people. You know, they're seamstresses or they're prop makers or armor makers or whatever. You know, there are multiple other routes. You don't have to do the sexy route in order to get into cosplay.
And people shouldn't feel like they have to do that to get anywhere in cosplay. Because it breaks my heart to see plus size girls, since I am a plus size girl, get turned away from cosplay because they feel like they're obligated to flaunt their body and they don't feel comfortable with it. I mean, same thing for guys. Not all guys feel comfortable flaunting their bodies because they're not ripped. You don't have to be ripped to cosplay. Anybody can cosplay. And you shouldn't feel obligated to do what they're doing to be popular.
That always hurts. It always depresses me when people don't want to cosplay because they feel like they have to fit this certain mold. And it's like, that's not what cosplay is about. Anybody can do whatever the heck they want. We don't care. Ugh.
We're not saying it to be trite. Like, seriously, we believe this. Everybody should be able to do this and not feel obligated to do things that they're uncomfortable with just to get likes or fame or, you know, 15 minutes on the front page of Reddit. Mm-hmm.
I know.
That's it.
But we should probably try to be quote unquote balanced. I mean, I think everybody pretty much knows what our opinions are about this. I think we're both very modest cosplayers. Like, for me, wearing my Ruby costume is already, like, too much belly for me to be showing. Like, that's too much for me. I don't like doing that.
Hey, I looked at doing, I think her name is Lyra from Final Fantasy Stormblood. Mm-hmm. And, like, the entire thing is just torso bearing everywhere. And I have love handles, and I am very busty. And I will be engineering that costume to be a little more modest. I'm not obliged to flash my body at people.
Most of the content is very body defying stuff where you're just like, how did they keep that stuff on? It makes no sense. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure those people are very fit because they're constantly fighting and running around and doing things.
This is
I am not. So I am not fit like them, therefore I cannot dress like them.
Lisa's a resistance leader, so she's constantly running and fighting. It makes perfect sense. Uh-huh. But trying to be a little bit more balanced here, I do think there is some benefit to sexy cosplay because of the creativity factor, because you have to think outside the box and try to do things a little bit differently. Maybe it's something that you enjoy doing. Nothing wrong with that, and that's totally cool. Sometimes people come up with some really creative and fun ways of making something sexy. Sometimes it's the guys doing the Sailor Scouts. and they all look fantastic, and sometimes the craftsmanship is just out of its world. It's really, really cool. I've seen sexy Dragon Ball Z cosplays, which again sounds absurd, but then you realize that they have to do the wig work and the armor and like the scanners and all that, and that takes a lot of effort to put that stuff together. It's not something you kind of slap and dash and throw it on. But then you also have to think about how, as cosplay has become more mainstream, one of the reasons that it is because people are noticing the sexy costumes. that's usually the first thing that hits their feed. People are interested in finding out more. And whether it is they look more at sexy costumes or they look more at the craftsmanship costumes, it eventually leads them into the hobby.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully they're not looking at the pictures for other reasons.
Well, you know.
We are adults, kids.
Allie makes a very good comment here. She agrees with you and says, I'm fine with sexy cosplay as long as it's not the expectation. Especially when it comes to the newcomers too, because that always, it breaks my heart and it concerns me whenever the newcomers think that they have to do the sexy costumes or that they have to do a Patreon. It's almost like I need to do a disclaimer at the bottom every time somebody asks me a Patreon question saying, you don't need to have one. It's okay.
And even where the cosplay, the original version is a little more bearing than you might like. Like, say, Umi's Arabian costume from Magic Knight Rares. Very skimpy halter top, very midriff bearing. That's the original costume. You're not obliged to make it that way. You don't have to be 100% accurate to the original for people to know who you are. I mean, just like you said, people are doing boudoir shoots where they put on the wig, they do the makeup. Basically, you can tell that that is that character. And they're not wearing any of their original outfit. But you still know who they are. And likewise, if you want to modify a costume, that is wonderful. Go ahead and do it. Modify to your heart's content as long as it's legal in public places. And then just enjoy yourself. People will still know who you are. I mean, yes, there are people who get characters confused all the time because you can only have so many variations on anime characters. But people will still get the idea. So don't worry about people hounding you for accuracy reasons. Like, come on, guys, it's 2017.
I am reading through the comments. This is probably the most amount of viewers that we've had in a while. Because, you know, that's how we roll.
Commentary is good.
Commentary is always very, very good.
Adult civil conversation is always a good thing.
Lane's comment is, it's nice to see a cosplay and think that's incredible workmanship instead of I recognize those boobs. Preach it.
Now, granted, you can see some cosplay that is sexy that still has an amazing amount of work into it.
Yes.
I think Jessica Negri just did World of Warcraft. Can't think of the name.
She does a lot of World of Warcraft, so that really helps.
She did a dragon. She did one of the dragons. Black dragon. Can't think of name because I don't play WoW.
Crap. You keep talking, I'm going to go find it now.
Anyways, she did basically a sexy version of said dragon with a breastplate and full, cuisses? The hip armor.
Mm-hmm.
And just detail everywhere. It looked like it had been made of Warbla. You know, full headdress, dark makeup, everything. And she did a freaking amazing job on it. Yes, it showed a little more cleavage and midriff than I would have liked, and it emphasized her assets. And I am a prude, and I admit that publicly. But you cannot deny the workmanship on that. You really can't. It's like, now I'm remembering, it's like Black Dragon with a weird mechanical jaw.
I think you're thinking of Deathwing, and she did that one a couple of years ago.
Yes, but it's one of the better examples of hers that I can think of, because her armoring is just immaculate. I mean, sure, it's showy, but she also did a really good job.
Yeah, she's definitely one of those cosplayers where I wish that she showed off more of her craftsmanship and less of her body, because she really does amazing craftsmanship. She did a costume for Battleborn originally when it was released last year. And it took me a moment to realize it was her, because I didn't know it was her. And it was the first time where I was, holy crap, she's a cosplayer. She is not a model in that. And I would love to see her do more of those type of costumes, but as well as show more tutorials, more how-tos, more about her process, because she really does make a lot of her work, but you don't get to see that. You just see the model form of her.
Likewise, Yaya at Akon did a Camilla costume from Fire Emblem. spot on, like 100% accurate. Now, if you've seen the character is up in your face with her assets, and I'm not a fan of that, but she did an impeccable job with the costume, the armoring job, the accessories, the sewing, everything just blended together beautifully. And you can't deny the craftsmanship. She did a really solid job.
Her Vampire Hunter D outfit is very similar to that. It is this mm-hmm. gorgeous velvet ball gown. Absolutely stunning. It impresses me every time I see it in person. I mean, yes, it is very out there and you do see her assets, but she is one of those cosplayers where you know she makes everything and it just looks impeccable. And I wish there was more discussion about that, not so much about what's going on up here.
And we realize it is in your face, so yes, there will be commentary on it, but the focus doesn't need to be on that. It's just like, okay, she's flashing her boobs. Moving on. That's it. That's all you have to do. That's it. Just move on. You get to the really fun part, which is talking about all the construction. Talking mm-hmm. shop with people is amazing. You learn so much from them.
And then Allie also brought up another good point about gender bending doesn't necessarily mean sexy, that you can still be the other gender character, but just because you have boobs or just because you have man parts doesn't automatically make it a version.
Right. Gender bending and sexy are two completely different things. Gender bending just means dressing as the other gender. It doesn't necessarily mean showing as the other gender. I mean, yes, you can do both. You can gender bend and do sexy. But it's not always the default. And there's nothing wrong with gender bend. No judgment.
Got it.
a lot of anime draws very genderless characters now. Very mm-hmm. androgynous looking men and women who, until they speak, you don't know what gender they are. Or some of them, like Ranma, just change genders at will. So there is that.
Good show. I miss that show.
They're all making a comeback, man. They're doing yeah. a lot of remakes now.
Do not get me started on that. That's going to be my after session topic. Do not get me started.
Okay, well, we'll do it in the after session.
I guess the other good positive thing with having sexy cosplay is it has been growing the Patreon industry. You know, for better or worse, Patreon really was kind of an underground movement until cosplay kind of took over it. And now it makes up a good chunk of their subscribers.
I'm a little 50-50 on Patreon because as an artist, I support the right to make money that way. And I know that that pays the bills. And that's a very important thing. On the other hand, having knowledge locked behind a paywall kind of rubs me the wrong way at the same time.
I know. That's the part that rubs me. I'm like, why?
I support the right to make money that way. At the same time, it's like, but that's knowledge that could help people. So I'm torn. I really am.
There are a couple of cosplayers. I will pimp out Amazon Mandy, who we've already interviewed this year. She has a Patreon, but hers is 100% free. And the reason that she moved to Patreon was that she was having a hard time getting the reach that she used to on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So nothing on Patreon, but that includes tutorials, the patterns that she has, like everything that she used to do on Facebook, she just now does it on Patreon. So you don't have to spend a single penny to get all of our content. So there are cosplayers that are still doing that, thank goodness. But there are the ones who still have that paywall up. And it's just like, knowledge, why? Google, it's there, it's your friend.
It's all over YouTube.
It is all over the tubes of views.
Or MeTube.
MeTube. The YouTubes.
Oh, the internet is a series of tubes.
It really is. It really is.
With that, I do believe we've covered our topic for the evening.
I think we have at this point, especially to keep it within the 30-minute range. Woohoo! And I'm sure we'll get some comments or some snark, or somebody's going to dislike this episode because they're going to be like, you're bashing on sexy cosplay, blah, blah, blah. We don't care about what the heck you wear. You can wear whatever you want. Fine. But I do think that we need to be aware of the fact that sexy cosplay is changing the community. It's changing the expectations. It's even trickling down into cosplay contests and what people expect out of cosplay contests. So we're not saying it's bad, but we need to be aware of it. And that if
we're saying it needs a place and time.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. And it's okay to admire sexy cosplay, but it's also okay to admire the people who focus on craftsmanship and accuracy and who want to be like the character and the acting abilities. I think we need to be able to spread that praise around as evenly as possible and not just focus on one classification of cosplay.
Amen. Preach.
Preaching it. Preaching it. I need a GIF here.
And with that, we will call an end to this episode 151 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to weigh in on this topic or any other topic that we've covered, to give us comments, constructive criticisms, suggestions, compliments, anything that you would like to say, you can find us on any of our social media here. And of course, you can always email us, podcast@cosplay.org, where you will get two responses. That's right, two, one from each of us, because we are that dedicated to our audience. Indeed.
I think we were synced on that.
As usual. All right. Otherwise, we will wish everybody happy cosplaying, happy autumn, and we will see you guys next time in episode 152. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.